Lives of the prophets, let's learn from them. Let's learn from them. Lives of the prophets, lives of the prophets, lives of the prophets, lives of the prophets, lives of the prophets.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyid al-Anbiya wal Mursaleen, amma ba'd, fa'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. There are many virtues and blessings of reciting salat upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As it has been narrated in a hadith that a person who recites durood 10 times, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends 100 mercies upon that individual. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. Look at the blessing of durood, that you spend a short while, a short time reciting salutations upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to the extent you only recite 10. As-salatu wassalamu alayka ya Rasulullah sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Like these are small sirahs, these are small sentences of durood. And if you just recite 10 of those, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants you 100 mercies. This is a very good deal. And we should try to use these opportunities which we have in our life to better our hereafter. Because once we have left this temporary world, once we have gone into our final and eternal abode, then we will be regretful over these things. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Welcome back to the program, Lives of the Prophets alayhi wa sallam. And in this program, we talk about the lives of the prophets, we talk about incidents that took place in their life, we talk about things which changed history, and we have covered over the life of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, we have covered the lives of Sayyidina Sheith alayhi salam, we have covered the life of Sayyidina Idris alayhi salam, and today we're going to cover the life of a very prominent prophet alayhi salam. He has been mentioned in 10 chapters in relation to his story. He's one of the famous ones, he's part of the Ulul Azam. There are 5 such prophets who have a greater, a higher rank than all the other Anbiya alayhim as-salam, and this blessed individual is one of them. But the thing about this prophet alayhis salam is people are not aware of his real name. Just like people are not aware of the real name of Idris alayhis salam, people are not aware of the real name of this blessed personality, but he is widely famous for his other name. So his real name is Abdul Ghaffar. And his title is Nuh alayhi salatu wassalam. He alayhi salatu wassalam received this title of Nuh because he used to profoundly cry and weep in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He used to have so much fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that his nickname, as to say, became Nuh, a person who profoundly weeps in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a person who cries out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he therefore is known by this name in relation to his other names. Sayyidi Imam Ahmad Rida Khan alayhi rahmatul Rahman writes, from the survivors of the flood, no one's progeny continued other than that of Prophet Nuh. The reason this is mentioned is because another title, another name of Prophet Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam is Adam al-Thani. Thani in Arabic means second, and Adam, well, it refers to Prophet Adam alayhi salam. So what is the purpose that he has given the name? He's also given the title of Adam al-Thani, the second Adam. And the reason for this, Sayyidi Ala Hazrat has clarified, is that after the incident of the flood, which happened in the life of Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam, there was nobody who survived that ship who was able to reproduce or have generations after that, except Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam. Therefore, he is called the Adam al-Thani, because we could say that the humankind or mankind came to a standstill. However, after the incident of the flood, Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salatu wassalam had a lot of children, and that polluted the earth after that. And this has been mentioned in the Quran, translation from Kunzul Iman, and we made his children the only survivors. Meaning after the incident of the flood, the only people to survive are the children of Nuh alayhi salatu wassalam. There is a difference of opinion in relation to when Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salatu wassalam was born. According to Ibn Jarir's statement, Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salatu wassalam was born 126 years after the demise of Prophet Adam alayhi salatu wassalam. Whereas the Ahl al-Kitab, the people of the book, they say there was a gap of 146 years between the birth of Nuh and the demise of Adam alayhi salam. And there is a hadith in Sahih Ibn Hibban in which it says that the difference was over a period of 1,000 years or 10 generations. There's a gap of between 1,000 years from Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam to Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salatu wa salam. One speciality about Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salatu wa salam was that he always used to fast. Yes, Madhya Vizu Zahmadni channel, Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salatu wa salam had the continuous habit of fasting every single day. There are only 2 days when it is not allowed to fast, and Sayyidina Nuh wouldn't fast on these 2 days is Yawmul Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha. That the two Eids which we have, the small Eid and the big Eid, he did not used to fast on these 2 days. Other than this, he used to fast on every single other day. This goes to show the level of taqwa, the level of piety of Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, that we, it is very difficult for us, it's very burdensome upon us to just fast 30 days in the month of Ramadan. Yet Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam had the habit of fasting every single day except 2 days in the whole year. This is also the miracle of Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, that a normal person, he's not able to sustain his health if he goes long periods of times fasting, but it is the miracle of Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam that he was able to do so. Similarly, Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam had great attributes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam as the perfect believer. Allah says in the Quran, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Innahu min ibadina al-mu'mineen. He, meaning Nuh, is indeed one of our high ranking, entirely believing bondsmen. And in the narration, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Innahu kana abdan shakura. Nuh, he is indeed a grateful bondsman. He is indeed a person who gives a lot of gratitude. He gives a lot of thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the Arabic language, there is somebody known as Shakir, a person who is grateful. And there is someone who is known as Shakura, a person who is always grateful. And the title which is given to Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam is Abdan Shakura, an always grateful bondsman. And the scholars have written the reason he is given this title is because when he would eat, he would thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When he would drink, he would thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When he would travel, he would thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When he would put on new clothes, he would thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To the extent that at every single moment in his life, there was not a single moment where he never expressed gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is something which has been taught to this ummah as well, that a person who is great to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will grant him more. This is the promise of the Quran. There is a story which comes to mind that Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam said to Jibreel that, show me the most pious person upon this earth. And Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam took Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salam to a cave. And when they go inside a cave, they see that there is a man there. He's paralyzed from his arm, he's paralyzed from his leg, he's disabled. Yet he's thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's doing shukr of Allah ta'ala. And Jibreel says that due to him being thankful, due to him doing shukr of Allah Ta'ala in old state, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has written him amongst his highest bondsmen. So a very, we could say, fast track or a way that we can gain the mercy and closeness of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala quicker than other people is by us being grateful to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, is by us recognizing the ni'mah Allah Ta'ala has given us and by utilizing those ni'mahs to gain closeness to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Remember, when a person is not grateful for his blessings, when a person is not grateful for his ni'mas, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes those blessings. Allah ta'ala turns those blessings into punishments for you. And a very simple example you could say is that a person, he is barren, he does not have children, he's not able to have children, and he spends his days and nights in asking Allah to grant him a child. When Allah ta'ala grants him a child, if he is ungrateful of that child, how is a parent ungrateful of a child? By not giving him proper Islamic teaching, by not educating him about the Quran, by not educating him about Islam. So when a person is ungrateful of his child by not teaching him proper Islamic manners, that same child becomes the reason of distress for the parents. So that child, which once started as a ni'mah and a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the reason that you are being punished in this life. So you should always be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the same way, prophethood and books were placed in his progeny. Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, once the incident of the flood happened, which we will cover later inshallah, he had 3 sons. And the whole population which we have today is from those 3 children. So he had 3 children. One was called Sam, one was called Ham, and one was called Yafith. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam said that the Arabs, or people of that provenance, they came from the descendants of Sam. The Ethiopians, they came from the descendants of Ham, and the Romans are the descendants of Japheth, meaning the population which is spread today comes back. We can trace it back to the common ancestors of Sam, Ham, and Japheth, who all three were the children of Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. In the same way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, translation from Kanzul Iman, and indeed we sent Nuh and Ibrahim and placed prophethood and the book amongst their children. The meaning of this is after Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, all the prophets and messengers who came until the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam were from the descendants of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And Ibrahim was a descendant of Nuh alayhi salam, meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored Ibrahim and Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam in the sense that any prophet which came from the duration of Ibrahim alayhi salam all the way up till the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they were all descendants of children of Ibrahim alayhi salam. This is why Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is also a prophet of the Ulul Azm, meaning the five great prophets, he is part of them too. And let me just mention them quickly for you. The first is Sayyidina Ibrahim, Sayyidina Nuh, Sayyidina Musa, Sayyidina Isa, and the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam. These are five Ulul Azm prophets, and they have superiority over the other prophets. In the same way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has honored Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam in such a way that he himself sends salam upon Nuh. And the way he does this, Allah says in the Quran, translation from Kanzul Iman, peace be upon Nuh amongst the creations in the world. Now remember, there is one way that we send salutations upon the Anbiya or the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and there is a way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends it. The difference is when we send salutations and durood upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and other Anbiya, our rank gets elevated. We benefit from it. When Allah ta'ala does it, that means He elevates their ranks even further. It doesn't necessarily mean that Allah gains reward or Allah gains blessings or benefits. No, it means Allah ta'ala elevates their ranks. So this is something that we have to keep in mind as well. Also, we come to know that in the time of Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, there were a lot of idol worshippers. And the story behind idols being worshipped is a very interesting story, and it is a very it's a story that we can gain a lot of pearls from. So the way idol worshipping actually started was that Sayyidina Idris alayhi salatu wasalam, when he was raised to the heavens, after he was raised to the heavens, people used to started worshipping idols more prevalently. They started to worship idols more and more. Alongside worshipping other idols, according to them, these five idols were more prestigious than others, which is why these five have also been mentioned in the glorious Quran as well. Describing the background of idol worshipping, Sayyidina Abdullah bin Abbas narrates that the names of the idols are the names of some pious people from the nation of Nuh alayhi salam. That the name of those five idols, they were actually pious people from the nation of Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. And when they passed away, Shaitan came to them and said to that nation, said to that people, that undoubtedly you miss them a lot, you miss those people a lot. So why don't we make an image of them, and you can place it in front of you, and you can start to pray, and when you look at them, you will remember those people as well. And the people said that we will not do this. So then Shaitan, he said, he gave a mashwara, he gave a request, and he said, okay, don't place them in front of you, but place them in the corners of the masjid. And the people said, we don't see any harm in this. So what they did was they placed those idols in the corners of the masjid. And slowly with time, what happened that the people, they started to bring those idols and they started to place in front of them, and then they started to worship Allah, but they used to look at those idols. Then came a point that they started directly worshipping those idols. Look at the way Shaitan tricks people. Look how cunning Shaitan is. What he did first was he threw his big attack. He said, put them in front of you and worship them. When the people said, we will not do this, he became lenient with them. He became cunning with them. He said, you know what? Place them in the corners, and they will not do you any harm in the corners. You can carry on your own way. And slowly and gradually, he carried on his mission to the extent that people brought them idols from the corners of the masjid, placed them in front of him, and started worshipping them. This is why the scholars and Allah Ta'ala in the Quran and the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has stressed upon the fact that you should stop evil at its basis. You should stop haram at its basis. Why does Allah Ta'ala say in the Quran that lower your gaze? Why does Allah say lower your gaze? The reason for this is that the first step for a person to indulge in haram is his gaze. Because when the person will look at his we can look at something haram, then that desire will come into his heart, and from his heart it will go to his private organs, which will make him do something haram. So this is why Allah Ta'ala, and this is the wisdom of Allah, that he stops haram from happening in the basis of it. And this is something that we need to understand as well. So shaitan is very cunning. We should always try to fight shaitan. We should not say something and be like, okay, you know what, it is not that harmful, it is not that bad, maybe if I do it, it'll be fine. No, because sometimes a small act can lead to a bigger act. Sometimes a small sin can lead to a bigger sin. Sometimes a person has a small cut on his body, but because he does not take care of that, that wound gets infected. When the wound gets infected, bacteria comes in it, to the point that people have to cut that hand off. So what started off as a small cut became so much to the extent that you had to cut the hand off. In the same way, a person, he thinks he's committing a minor sin. He thinks he's committing a small sin. But because of the evil which is around that sin, because of the mercy of Allah being removed from that person, that small sin turns into something major and destroys that individual. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salatu wa salam, he told his people to stop worshipping idols. He used to say to them that stop worshipping idols, come upon the right path. Otherwise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send a dreadful punishment for you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send a painful punishment for you. But the chiefs, the leaders of these groups, the leaders of his nation, they did not listen to Nuh alayhi salam. But rather, they started to object to Nuh alayhi salam, and they made three objections. The first objection they made is, you are a human like us. This is an objection we find today about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he was a human like us. So they should think that this is actually the ways of the people who went against Nuh alayhi salam. So what did they say? They said that you are a human like us. You do not have any superiority over us. Therefore, how can we believe that you are a prophet and obeying you is compulsory for us? The second objection that they made is, we see that the people who are with you, they have no value or respect. They are not very rich. They do not have a high social status. They have also embraced faith in you without any thought or consideration. So their first objection was that you are just like us. How do we know that you have actually come from God and you have a message that we need to listen to? The second objection that they made was that the people who accepted your faith, they are still poor. They are still they don't have a high social status. Their life have not improved anyway. So how do we know that you are upon the truth? And the third objection they made was that we do not see anything in you because of which you may have superiority over us. Neither do you have more wealth than us. Neither do you have kingdom. We consider you a liar in your claim of prophethood, and also consider your followers liars in their endorsement of it. Na'udhu billah. Meaning the people of Nuh alayhi salam, the nation, the chiefs who went against Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, they disrespected Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, and they put these objections in front of Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. But there is a very simple answer to the objections of these chiefs. And one person can simply say that this life is temporary. So any person who has a position, any wealth a person has, anything a person gains in this world is only as temporary as this temporary world. And like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not look at your color, Allah ta'ala does not look at your exterior, but rather taqwa is linked with the heart. So those people who have a greater rank in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are indeed those people who have more recognition of their Lord, who have more understanding of their Lord, who remember their Lord, who always put their Lord first. Look, Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, he had such a high status. Why? Because he was an always grateful bondsman. And due to this bondsmanship, due to this gratitude which was given to Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him a very high-ranking prophet. Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam then made dua against the disbelievers, and it has been mentioned in the Quran, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, translation from Kanzul Iman, I am overpowered, therefore take revenge on my behalf. Meaning Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam made this dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In another part of the Quran, he says, O my Lord, help me, for they belied me. In another part, he says, translation from Kanzul Iman, O my Lord, forgive me and my parents and whoever is in my house as a believer and all other Muslim men and Muslim women, and do not increase anything for the disbelievers except destructions. This is the dua of a prophet. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not reject the dua of a prophet. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not leave the prayers of the anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam. And this was just a brief biography into the life of Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam. That major incident which took place, in which the flood came, and the incidents revolving that flood, inshallah, we do not have time to cover it in this episode, but inshallah, in the next episode, we will cover the flood which took place, and how it happened, how much destruction it caused, and what we can learn from it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who always follow the commandments of the Anbiya alayhim salatu wassalam, who never go against the Anbiya alayhim salatu wassalam, who never become the subject of the baddu'a, of the du'as of the Anbiya alayhim salatu wassalam. Ameen bijahin nabiyil ameen wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Lives of the prophets, let's learn from them. Let's learn from them. Lives of the prophets, lives of the prophets, lives of the prophets, lives of the prophets, lives of the